Some people like A and others like B. At BMW, we prefer X. Like the dynamic X3, meant for ultimate exploration. The X5, built to conquer even the most difficult paths, or the pinnacle of comfort and luxury, the X7. And since every X-Range vehicle is packed with performance and versatility, you'll always get the best of X. The BMW X-Range. Your next X-Venture starts here.
Hurry into the BMW President's Day sales event and receive exceptional offers through March 2nd.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard this Air France message. With Air France, your journey to France begins when you set foot on the plane, starting with a complimentary glass of champagne in every class. And in business and la première, savor a five-course meal with cheese and wine and unique menus created by some of the greatest French chefs. Enjoy a taste of France before you arrive. Bon appétit. Elegance is a journey. Air France.
B. Mitch Finley, 106.7 The Fan. It's not often that I have been waiting all week for a hockey game, especially a non-Caps hockey game. But, dude, the Four Nations has completely, I think, kind of taken over what is a quiet time on the sports calendar. And we were talking about it yesterday, like, oh, who could we get to talk Four Nations with? And I was like, Joe B., man, is there anybody
there
better?
You go.
Joe Beninati joins us now. Joe B., how are you, man? You've been enjoying a little bit of downtime, or have you just been missing the road?
A little bit of both, JP. Good to talk with you and B. Mitch today, but I didn't get a chance to get away during this Four Nations face-off break. I've had some things to take care of around the house, but all the while, like you were talking about, they put together this sort of made-for-TV event, and it's turned out to be must-see TV, and it all culminates tonight. It should be great.
But let me pause real quick with our Four Nations excitement. We all know Locker had heart surgery. I've seen the pictures from Courtney's Instagram. Like, I know he's doing well and working his way through it. Have you seen or talked to Locker? And just can you give us an update on how he's doing?
Yeah, I visited last week. We made some lunch. We brought out there and visited with Ryan Billy. Our producer was there.
Great.
Al Koken was there. A bunch of us were there that time. I know all of us have tried to make some flight paths out to the Lachlan residence. I'm going to actually watch our Pittsburgh game. The Caps-Pittsburgh game is on national TV, so I'm going to swing by Locker's place and watch the Caps get back into action there. From what I gather, he told me, you know, he's feeling well. He has good days and bad. It's remarkable how quickly he was up and around and out of the hospital and out of ICU and off of medications, the heavy-duty stuff. And so I think he's very much going along in the right place. But I think even he realizes, you know, wow, this took a lot out of him. And it's going to take a while for him to come back, but I know that he will.
Absolutely. And we're thinking of him and the family. Now, Joe B., when you go to watch the Caps game with Locker, you got to try to keep him calm, I think. You know, you can't get all fired up, man.
It's going to be fun. I'm curious because some of his commentary off mic can be just as good as the ones that are on mic.
I'm sure.
The off-mic ones may have a little bit more sensitivity going, so I look forward to it. Very rarely have we had the occasion to watch a Caps game together without calling it, so this is going to be one of those instances.
Yeah, absolutely. That'll be fun. All right, now let's get to the Four Nations then, because I'll be honest, after the Super Bowl, I kind of checked the cap schedule just to lock in watching a game, maybe try to get to a game as my schedule was calming down. And I was I screamed on this here radio program, what the hell is the NHL doing? Why do they not have games right now when there's really this hole in the sports calendar? And it was explained to me that Four Nations was kind of thought up to replace the NHL All-Star game. And I wasn't into it. And then I watched a little bit of Canada-Sweden. And then I tuned in for U.S.-Canada the first game, and the fights, the immediate fights got me sucked in.
Yep, totally.
What has the reaction been to this tournament so far?
Really good, and it has to be. If you're a hockey lover, if you're a hockey fan, just take one look at the rosters. When you look at the rosters and you realize that these guys are going to go hard and play for their nation's pride, you sit there and go, wow, they have that guy and that guy and that guy, and you just go on and on and on. So it's truly a best-on-best kind of arrangement. And I think the league took a long-range approach, and with regard to international best-on-best, this was a good time to fit in the Four Nations face-off before an Olympic Games next year in Cortina, Milano. You know, there hadn't been NHL participation at the highest senior level in the Olympics. They weren't there in the Olympics of 18 and 22. They didn't go to South Korea. They didn't go to Beijing. Mm. So the last time you've really seen best on best, including NHL players, would be the 2016 World Cup. And with that in mind, now they've got this rotation. Let's go Four Nations face off in 25, 26 Olympics, bring the World Cup back in February of 28, go back to the Olympics in the French Alps in 30. So you're going to get this every other sort of every 2 years or so, best on best competitions. And this just gets it off to a flying start. Again, the depth of talent is amazing. Just have a look at the rosters and you'll go, whoa.
Is it going to be the same nations every time, or are they going to add others into it?
The Four Nations thing, obviously with the climate worldwide, Russia not being there, Russia I don't believe would be in the 26 Olympic Games, but you will get a more full-scale approach of the international best-on-best and an Olympic Games, B. Mitch. But as far as the Four Nations were concerned, when this was cooked up, it was just going to be U.S., Canada, Sweden, Finland.
Okay.
Talking with Joe Beninati here on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude is the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. You can follow Joe B at Joe B PXP. Of course, watch him on Monumental Sports Network calling the Caps. All right, so specific to tonight, there's a little bit of injury on both sides. I know there was a defenseman the U.S. was hoping to get. It's Joe, I'll confess, and I don't know that this is a shock to you, but like, I am a Caps fan before I'm necessarily a hockey fan. Like, I watch most Caps games, all Caps playoffs, but like, I'm not tuning in for Blues Predators on a Friday night. You know what I mean?
JP, this makes sense. This is why you call me. Call me. I understand this.
Exactly.
This makes perfect sense. And Charlie McAvoy is not going to play for Team USA, and that's a huge loss. Cale Makar is going to play for Canada, and that's a huge gain.
He didn't play in the last game, right?
No, he didn't.
Yeah,
and
that's tough.
He's arguably, I think he's the best defenseman in the world. He could be the best hockey player in the world. And I know some people will shriek and go, how can you not say it's not McKinnon or McDavid or Matthews? I love defensemen, and Makar plays both ends of the rink at an amazing level. And with him returning for Canada, that makes them even more impactful. Up front for Team USA, from what I gather, and I don't think they'll be at 100%, but the Tkachuk brothers are expected to play. Matthews is expected to play. I can't imagine that any of those three are going to be at 100%, but 80% of those three is really good. So when you fold them into the rest of the USA roster, just an amazing game ahead. And here's one thing to remember. Not sure if people are aware. This game tonight, if it goes past regulation, if it requires overtime, it's not 3-on-3. There's no shootout in this one. If they go overtime tonight, it's Stanley Cup playoff overtime. They'll play as long as it takes to get a winner.
Wow. Wow, I didn't realize that.
Do you think it'll be any fights in this one? Because it's the finals. But still, you know, the nations are going to go at each other.
B. Mitch, it's interesting because, again, the roster depth, you'd sit there and go, I don't want my top guys in the penalty box for 5 minutes for fighting. But I've got so many top guys. If push comes to shove, you know, the Tkachuks, and we're talking about it in advance. I think there's been reports about this group text between the guys for Team USA saying, hey, you know what, in that Canada game, let's stir it up as soon as possible. So I think they knew it was coming, and Canada obliged. Tonight, with everything on the line, you really don't want to be spending a lot of time in the penalty box, but I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if one or two breaks out. Here's the other thing with regard to fighting, and I'm amazed when it happens. That game had three fights in 9 seconds.
Yeah.
if I'm not mistaken, in the entirety of the NHL season up to date, better than 700 total games, there had been one game with three fights in it before that Four Nations face-off explosion between these two. Mm-hmm. It doesn't happen very often. The fighting is way down, but it's magnified when you see it at that level of international best-on-best.
Yeah, I mean, that the beginning of that game was just so nuts. But then the McDavid goal, I was like, oh, my gosh, Canada's got all the energy. That building was crazy. Mm-hmm. And then for the U.S. to come back, was really, really an impressive effort. How do you think it goes tonight? I remember, did the Avalanche win it like 3 years ago? I remember the first time watching Makar, because I always, hockey playoffs, I will watch whoever it is because they're just so electric. And I remember the first time really watching Makar on the Avs being like, the speed that dude had for a defenseman was just mind-blowing.
Yeah, and together with Nathan MacKinnon, and here we go, on and right. on with the talent. But it's hard in any sport, regardless of sport, to beat a great team twice in what would this be, a six-day span.
Right.
Canada, if you're gonna look back on history, Canada in past Olympic tournaments, I want to say tonight's the seventh time at the senior level, best on best, that Canada and the U.S. have squared off in a gold medal game, per se. Canada's won four of them. The last two in particular at the Olympics in 2002 in Salt Lake City, which I was lucky enough to cover, and in 2010 in Vancouver. It is hard to beat a great team twice in 6 days. Advantage Canada. Makar coming back. Advantage Canada. If you sit there and say Hellebuck is better than Binnington, I'm not going to disagree with you in the goal. But Binnington won a Stanley Cup on this ice sheet in 2019 with the Blues. You get where I'm going here?
Yeah.
I really think the USA is built and ready to do it and ready to take down a Canadian team at the highest level. Canada's won 9 of 13 best on best all time, 5 of the last 6. I think it's time for USA, but it's going to be hard for them to beat this Canadian team twice in less than a week.
Mm. Yeah. I pick up what you're putting down, Joe B. Talking with our mm-hmm. friend Joe Beninati, Caps play-by-play. You can follow him at Joe B PXP. Joe joins us via the Rude guest hotline. Rude is the most reliable HVAC products in the DMV. What can the building do tonight? In Boston, we saw how outrageously loud and kind of nationalistic this thing was in Montreal. I'd expect these New Englanders to return the favor tonight.
Yes, and especially with so many of their favorite sons in the lineup. I think immediately, if you're going to put a spotlight on, maybe, you know, hey, watch out for someone, it's someone like Jack Eichel, who grew up in the Boston suburbs, who played collegiately at BU and was one of the finest at the amateur level. Now that he is a top-flight pro and a Stanley Cup champion out with Vegas, it wouldn't surprise me if somebody like Jack Eichel turns the light on to create a big win for the United States tonight. It just wouldn't. Mm-hmm. There are so many New England guys in that lineup, or guys who have played at least collegiately in that area. The fan base will be amazingly red, white, and blue supportive. Absolutely. And from an energy standpoint, I've had a lot of athletes, JP and B. Mitch, tell me, regardless of sport, again, when they have the chance to put on their colors, when they have the chance to put on the red, white, and blue, they feel like a superhero. And if that doesn't pump you up, then nothing else will.
Yeah,
they almost take this superheroic approach to the game, and I think it's amazing. I was wondering how they were going to play, at what level. I knew it wasn't going to be a grip and grin, all-star kind of friendly no-hitter, but right. I didn't realize that they were going to play at this level.
Oh yeah.
And that brings in all the other injury concerns for the rest of the NHL season. I just cross my fingers and hope that nobody gets injured, that everybody's able to play moving forward. But when they get to this level and I expect them to all be frothing at the mouth tonight. It's going to be pretty good.
I'm sure the owners are sitting up there going, oh, man, just play how you want to play. That's a joke. All the owners are probably like, please don't get hurt.
Well, dude, I couldn't help.
Because it'll be short-lived if you get a lot of guys hurt.
B said it earlier. When the Four Nations thing came out, I remember saying to Landfill, I was like, dude, the Caps aren't even in this thing. That's when we realized Russia wasn't even in this thing, and so on and so on. Watching the first 10 seconds of the Canada-USA game the other night, I think it's an advantage for the American team
that Tom Wilson
that Canada did not take Tom Wilson. Has that been discussed at all?
Of course. And I know through sort of back channel circles, and I think and I hope Tom knows if he's listening today to the program, he was in very high consideration for Team Canada. I want to say he's probably one of the last two guys who was left off of the roster. It was that close. And there are a number of guys still in Canada's roster who can do who can take a similar approach. But Willie would have been amazing for the Maple Leaf team tonight.
Absolutely.
That would have just been off the charts. And Tom has grown up over the last 10-plus years as a pro to know when he can do it, what he can do it, how far can he push that, how can he walk that line.
Sure.
I think, and I know for sure, Tom would have used good judgment in this tournament, but he would have been a difference maker. He's the kind of guy who swings a pretty big sledgehammer out there.
I think the U.S. would have said, we're not doing this fighting thing.
Yeah, Four Nations is canceled.
Hey, they got Wilson over there, man. Nah, I'm not doing that. Well, you go get him.
Yeah.
You fight him. I'm not fighting him.
Well, dude, the third fight, and Joe, you're going to know the guys, but the third fight, so it's one Tkachuk, two Tkachuks.
JT Miller and Parayko is the third fight.
Like, the American dude was way smaller and kind of picked the fight. I don't think you do that with Willie.
Nah.
JT Miller is really, really tough, extremely talented, recently traded from Vancouver to the New York Rangers. Parayko is 6'6".
Yeah, the dude had a foot on him.
And mean as a snake. And mean as a snake. It was fantastic. And it was, as I was watching it, as soon as we saw Matthew Tkachuk go with Hagel, I was yelling to somebody who was watching the game with me, Brady is going to go immediately, and if Bennett is on the ice, it'll be Brady and Bennett. And for once, my forecasting turned out to be right.
Love it.
It's just, I didn't see JT Miller going with Parayko, but I think JT wanted anybody and anybody off of that goal mouth scrum. He happened to grab Godzilla, but that's okay. it was greatly recognized and appreciated by his teammates. I thought Team USA played beautifully. You know, not only are the rosters incredible, but coaching staff rosters are exceptional. And tonight's two head coaches, it's a brilliant matchup with Mike Sullivan against John Cooper. And I could say so many good things about everybody, both roster-wise and coaching staff-wise, all the way through head coaches, through assistants and associates. But that first game, Team USA defensively played exactly the way they need to play tonight. And I don't know if you can duplicate that with Connor Hellebuck in goal, and Hellebuck is fantastic in regular season play. I think Connor and the Winnipeg Jets have something to prove come playoff time, come April, and they just might. But when Hellebuck has chances to see shots that are angled shots from the perimeter at his size, he's incredibly tough to beat. If they can do that tonight, if they can keep Team Canada away from what's affectionately referred to as home plate area in front of Hellebuck, they can do it again. They can beat Canada.
To hell with Canada. Mm-hmm. Joe, obviously we're focused on tonight. I don't want to peek ahead too much. You said Caps Pens, I guess, is on ABC or whatever. Does that mean your first game back is McDavid coming to town, Oilers Caps?
JP, I wish. That's 0-2. That's another national exclusive.
Damn, is it? Damn. Oh, man, I legit didn't know that.
No, Monumental doesn't get back to work on the game front till Tuesday. We get Calgary.
Okay.
So Pittsburgh and Edmonton are both national exclusives. And Pittsburgh, Edmonton, Calgary, the first three games back after this break.
Huge.
Washington has recent wins over all three of those teams. But I just think the 8 or 9 days off, the guys are back on the ice practicing again today. I think that came at just the right time. I didn't like the way the Caps were playing heading into the break. I thought their best game in recent memory was one they played against Florida on February 4th. Florida looked like a Stanley Cup champion, played really well. Washington beat them at home. That's the game I take some solace from. The most recent games heading into the break, maybe the guys were on the beach already. I didn't like the way they played in the early stages of the Utah game specifically. They'll be better. They'll be ready to go once they're in Pittsburgh on Saturday.
Dude, Joe B., I never expected to have much of an opinion on the Utah team, but the fact that Ovi played out there, got hurt, then they came here and won, I hate this Utah team.
And, well, you should. A bunch of young kids who NHL fans will be familiar with from the time together in Arizona.
Right.
Always seem to play well against Washington, and it's the speed component.
I forgot. Was it 2 years ago they gave up a touchdown to Arizona in a matinee at Cap One? Wasn't it like 7-2?
I think you're remembering a game that the Caps played out in Tempe at the Arizona State rink. The then Coyotes put 5 on them in the first period. It was 5-0 after one.
Oof.
That was a kick in the gut. That team tends to match up pretty well against Washington, whatever their name is, and whatever their future nickname is going to be.
Right.
I just didn't like, you know, that was one game in, I can't remember, where Logan Thompson wasn't Logan Thompson. Guys, he's been very much in the Vezina Trophy discussion for best goalie this year. It's probably Thompson and Hellebuck 1-2 or 2-1, however you want to stack it. And with as good as the Caps have been and where their record is at the time of this break, I'm telling you, Logan's deserving, especially in the last month when the team hasn't been all that great. Thompson's been MVP level good. And against Utah, he wasn't. So, again, he's human. He'll bounce back. That team will come back to that good level. And now you can almost start to see April. So now you want to make sure that you're playing the game the right way. And Spencer Carberry and his staff will have these guys motivated to do so and get back to the level that we were really enjoying in the first 2 months, 10 weeks of the season.
Can't wait for tonight, USA Canada. Can't wait to hear you again on the call next Tuesday night. Caps Flames from Capital One Arena. Joe B., as always, thank you, man.
Hi, Joe.
I appreciate
Take care, buddy.
You.
Guys, my pleasure. Have fun tonight.
Peace.
Joe Beninati at Joe B PXP. Give him a follow. If I was Sidney Crosby or Connor McDavid and I got a mad Tom Wilson coming my way, I don't know, man. Kind of interesting.
Yeah, very much so. Hey, it's B. Mitch and JP here. If you want comfort and convenience wherever life takes you, then you need to turn the Rood. With Wi-Fi capability, you have full control of your heating and cooling system right from your phone. Forgot to turn down the heat before vacation? Adjust it in seconds. Plus, you'll get alerts if something's not right. These guys are the absolute best, and they've installed new systems in my house, and I felt the difference instantly.
And here's the thing when you're dealing with Rood, it is whisper quiet. No noisy interruptions, nothing waking you up in the middle of the night, just peace of mind. Rood's variable speed compressor ensures precise temperature and humidity control, operating efficiently even in extreme conditions. Its comfort and performance perfectly balanced. B, you got to tell them about the savings. You can qualify for federal tax credits up to $2,000 on heat pumps through 2032. Check them out, rood.com/federal incentives to learn more.
That's RUUD, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in a DMV. And remember, if it ain't Rood,
it ain't right. I'm going to take my kids to do Sunday afternoon and not having much success. AU plays Saturday. I want to talk about something. I may have some information that is useful for us, Brian.
Okay, what you got?
You and I have been working trying to figure out why the franchise tag numbers seem lower than they should be.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Joel Corey is a dude we both know, both respect, former agent. He's a salary cap expert. He does specific contract and salary cap work for CBS Sports. I believe in Joel Corey's numbers. I believe in his number crunching abilities. Do you land at the same location I do?
I'm with it.
Okay. Corey just put out his new franchise tag.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Based on the new salary cap, $277.5 million. It's a chance the cap lands a little higher than that, but at most it'll be 280.5.
Yeah.
So you're talking about a negligible percentage difference. So I understand why Joel would base it off the minimum number,
gotcha.
Right? It'll only be a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And I find this just remarkable. What do you think the franchise tag at the quarterback position is for 2025 based on Joel Corey's numbers?
Well, you said yesterday 42. 45.
40.
It went down?
Maybe yesterday I was incorrect. That was my estimate. 40 mil is the franchise tag for quarterbacks. So he's getting asked, like, how is that possible? Right?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we should do some math. I bet I'm not the guy for this. Maybe you are. Maybe Jeff. I don't know. But Corey was asked, I'm having trouble understanding how to calculate the tag using data from the last 5 years. So here's what he said. The tags under the original methodology, which is what we all became used to,
yeah.
The average of the top five salaries.
Totally.
So the tags under the original method from the previous 5 years are added together, then divided by the sum of the salary caps of the past 5 years. The resulting percentage is multiplied by the salary cap for the upcoming league year. You got that?
That's just too much BS, man. When the salary cap started, it was supposed to be the average of the top five salaries. All of this going back to that, this is something the league has started to do because you know what? The numbers are growing a little too fast for them.
PA has to agree to it.
Yeah, well, they need to start looking at this stuff again then because they're not right on that one. They're messing it up.
So what I find remarkable, dude, if you look at the top five quarterback money this year,
mm-hmm.
average salary at the quarterback position,
what is it?
Dak's making 60.
Yep.
Burrow's at 55. Love's at 55. Trevor Lawrence at 55. Then Tua at 53. And the tag is at 40.
It doesn't really make sense, man.
That is such a one-sided advantage to ownership and management.
Yeah, but see, the thing of it, though, quarterbacks don't get franchise tag normally. They normally get their deals. And you think it's going to go to 40? Well, I would franchise a quarterback that I don't believe is worth $50 million, $60 million. So franchise, you just give him 40.
I tell you, where else you're really, really stunting the growth, and this is probably why T. Higgins is incredibly pissed off.
Where is that?
Wideout.
What's their average?
You want to guess?
We thought it was 30.
I'm telling you the tag, not the average, the newfangled tag.
They said 26 with him.
24.
24. So everything is going backwards? You got more money on the cap, but everything is going backwards now?
B, you got – this is dudes making north of 30. Jefferson, CD, A.J. Brown, Amon-Ra, St. Brown, Tyreek Hill, Brandon Ayuk, north of 30. North of the tag – you keep going, Waddle, Adams, DJ Moore, Cooper Kupp at 26.7. Devontae Smith just got his deal done at 25.
See, this, I don't know how, The man put the numbers together, but it doesn't seem right or fair at all. The numbers that came out yesterday about Higgins was 26.5. And now today you're saying it's 24. Something must be wrong in that deal, because all of this extra adding this and calculating that stuff was never supposed to be a part of the deal.
I think it's supposed to be a percentage of the cap. I don't know, man. It's crazy to me.
That percentage of the cap crap never was a part of this thing.
Now, there are spots where maybe, but like, they're not, like, this dude isn't wrong. Clearly, they have changed, updated, finagled the rules or whatever. There are some positions where it's probably to your advantage to get tagged. I think.
Like where?
I doubt many of them get it, but if you're an interior offensive lineman, like we saw with the dude from Kansas City that they declined to tag him, if you're a guard or a center, you're getting paid tackle money because they only listed his O-line. Here's something I'd love an explanation on. Yes, Lamphill. Yes. They have O-line as one blanket category for franchise tags.
Mm-hmm.
$23.5 million is the franchise tag for an O-lineman. But they split up D-ends, D-tackles, and linebackers. Of the three, D-ends, D-tackles, linebackers, what position do you think would carry the highest franchise tag?
You would think the D-end.
You sure would. And it's the lowest.
The linebacker carries it?
Linebacker, barely. Linebacker's 25.6 mil. D tackle, 25.3 mil. DN, 22.2. So a lot of this is in the classifications. What is Myles Garrett? What is TJ Watt? Like, how are you classifying those contracts? This sure looks advantageous to the NFL.
But think about it.
Man.
If those are the numbers, why are those guys, when they sign deals, get way more than that? Because wouldn't you think they would be trying to stay somewhere closer to the average, the franchise tag numbers?
I think.
Because guys are destroying those numbers.
I think clearly the tags become less relevant to drive discussion on contract value, and it's the last guy that got paid. Right? Because Dak has now set the market at 60.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know the next quarterback due to get paid at that scale. We'd have to think. Stroud is a year away, right? You could try to pay Stroud a year from now. If Trevor Lawrence just got paid, what draft is in between there? There might just not
what
be.
What did he get, 50-something, 55?
Who? Lawrence? Yeah, Lawrence got 55. Is there a quarterback in between those two drafts that I'm blanking on that would be up for getting paid? I don't think so. He was 23, so it'd be the 22 NFL draft. What were the quarterbacks from 2022? They all suck. That's why we haven't seen it. All right, we got a break. Landfill's yelling at me. Pat Leonard. We're going around the NFL with our guy Pat Leonard at noon. That's a big miss from White Brian. Everybody had their hands up. We were feeling it. And Brian doesn't throw the stream on. Give the people what they want right there. WB? Remember the WB as a network? Is that still a thing? Is that the CW
the WB?
Now?
I don't know. I don't watch that much TV to know, Jay.
Dawson's Creek was on the WB, I think.
The WB and UPN merged to become the CW in like 05.
Okay. Shout out to UPN. Shout out to Dawson's Creek. Joe.
Why the hell you know that information, Landfill?
Especially to know bored. The dates is pretty.
Are you bored as hell? Because that's some obscure information to know right there.
You should all know this. I used to watch the hell out of Smallville, which was on the WB.
Didn't watch Smallville.
Well, you should have.
Hold on.
Great show.
Hold on. Quick guess. Because I think I know this. What do you think the plot is to Smallville, B?
Don't know what the hell it is.
It's about Superman. Can you guess from there?
No.
Yeah, Superman, like, as a kid or something,
actually,
right?
Yeah, not about Superman. It's about Clark Kent in high school. That's what it's about.
Yeah.
Great show.
I was close.
Great
you
show.
You have a boring life if you're watching all that crap.
Great show.
Dawson's Creek, man, was a great show.
You need to get out the house
also
a little bit more, Landfill.
Dawson's Creek is also a good show. Smallville, a great show.
So a
you need to get
ago,
out your house sometime, dog.
I'm going to get to this real point I'm trying to make here. A moment ago, we were talking about, you know, the franchise tags and how ridiculous they've become as an ownership advantage. We're going to try to get Joel Corey on the program tomorrow to help us understand how this all changed.
Yeah, because I'm confused as hell.
But basically, each year, a new quarterback or a new stud receiver or a new stud X player resets the market at X position. And Dak did it last year, and we were trying to go through, pick our brains, who's the QB that could do it this year? And we're like, oh, that 2022 NFL draft sucked. There's no kid coming up for eligibility. Brock Purdy. We forgot about Purdy, probably because he was the last pick in the draft.
Yeah.
If Purdy goes north of Dak at 60 mil.
They probably just franchise him.
Dude, but let's talk about.
Wouldn't it be smart to franchise him?
It'd be really smart to franchise him.
Because they could keep him way 20 million below what the other top guys are getting, and you still give him a hell of a jump.
Can we run through the 9 quarterbacks drafted in 2022? Can anybody name one?
Kenny Pickett?
Kenny Pickett was the first quarterback drafted that year, 20th overall. He's already been traded, although he did just win a Super Bowl ring. Back up to Hurts. What else you got, Landfill? I'm here.
Who was that? Was that guy from Malik Willis?
Malik Willis was your third quarterback drafted.
Oh.
He was in the third round, 86th overall. I think he's Jordan Love's backup at Green Bay now.
I think he is.
You missed the second quarterback draft. This is open to everybody.
Can I get a hint?
Jeff?
Like what school?
For the second?
Yeah.
Yes. I think Washington has played this dude while he's been on 2 different teams. Already. I'm saying the command.
And he was drafted in 2022?
Yeah.
Was Bailey Zappe one of the guys?
Bailey Zappe is one of them.
I remember B-Mitch was a big Bailey Zappe guy.
Was he?
He was.
What college did Bailey Zappe go to?
Boise State?
Nah, I think it was
wasn't
Western
Kentucky.
Kentucky,
yeah,
right?
Something like that.
I was no damn Bailey Zappe.
Zaley Bappy? Bailey Zappe, I believe, is out of the NFL. He was a fourth rounder.
So that was.
He started for the Browns in their last game of the season.
Good for him. He was, I guess the Patriots cut him. I got Ole Miss, Landfill. Ole Miss is a hint. No Matt Corral fans in the crowd?
Wow.
Matt Corral was a third round pick.
All right. Yeah.
Wow.
I'll give you a hint on one of these quarterbacks. This is the second quarterback drafted in 2022. Brad Jackson. That's your hint.
He went to Cal?
No. Brad didn't go to Cal.
Where the hell did Brad go?
Cincinnati.
Oh, that's your dude.
Oh, yeah. You were a big fan of this guy, JP.
I was dead on about this guy.
Played for the Falcons.
From day one. I told you Desmond Ridder ain't an NFL quarterback, and Desmond Ridder ain't an NFL quarterback. All right. So far, we've gotten Pickett, Ridder, Willis, Corral, Zappe. Do you know who the fifth quarterback taken, maybe the sixth quarterback taken, but in the fifth round that year?
No.
You got to give us a school or something here.
Jeff, you got this one. Fifth rounder quarterback.
JP, you wouldn't.
Jeff might pull this. I'm telling you.
You wouldn't know it if you weren't looking at the list.
If somebody told me fifth round quarterback 2022, I would know it.
Nah.
I thought if you would.
Oh.
We devoted
Is it
hours.
Sam Howell?
It is Sam Howell. Yeah. We've devoted hours, weeks of our life to this team.
I didn't do it.
Still can't believe they traded the third. They got a third rounder for that guy.
I told you earlier that let's get away from it.
All right, Brock. Purdy.
Remember all the people who said he was supposed to be a first rounder? The guy got drafted in the fifth round in the weakest quarterback draft in years, and people were trying to hype him up to like he was a first rounder. Like we got the steal of the draft.
My bad.
This has been a quarterback starved wasteland.
In fairness,
all of a sudden we're eating filet, baby.
They kind of did get the steal of the draft because they turned a fifth round pick into a third round pick.
Adam Peters knows what he's doing. Okay, I'm going to give you one. So far we've named six of the quarterbacks for 2022 draft.
I mean, it was it? Seven?
There were nine.
Nine?
And Purdy was the last one. I legit...
And he was the best one of the whole draft.
by miles and miles. I legit can't tell you anything about the last... About the next two. There are two quarterbacks between Howell and Purdy. And I think at best, I can tell you where one of them went to college.
Where?
I think one of them went to Northwestern. I think. And shares a first name with the love interest in Good Will Hunting.
Well, you lost me right there.
Skylar Thompson. Anybody got anything on Skylar Thompson?
I didn't know he was drafted.
I thought he was like a...
Where does he play?
Washington or something.
Is he still in the league?
Apparently he's on the Steelers. Kansas State is where he played his college football. Now, he played really well for the Dolphins when they almost pulled off that upset of the Bills in the playoffs like 2 years ago. Forgive me, I don't know what has happened with Skylar Thompson. All right, this is I got zero file, as the G&D program would say. I'm going to look him up. I am confessing, though, I know nothing about the last dude we can name from the 2022 draft.
Two-time Super Bowl champ. I just looked it up.
Who, Skylar Thompson?
No, this last guy.
All right, B. This dude played for...
You waste your time asking me.
South Florida, Samford, and South Dakota State.
With the three of them?
Yeah.
Have no clue.
Chris Oladokun.
You say he has two Super Bowl rings, Leville? How many snaps has he taken in the league?
Are you sure? Just because
he has
on
five rushing yards.
Are you sure he's got two rings?
Yep. We got a break.
He's on the Chiefs? Break. Both times?
Pat Leonard joins us next.